So I think self-belief is absolutely critical, because if you have that, you really can achieve anything. And if you look at very successful people, you know, very often they've come from very humble beginnings, you know, and have had to struggle, you know, so haven't been given this on a plate.
Welcome to the JD Show. Our aim is to help you implement on your dreams. And today we have with us someone that I observed on social media and someone that really, really inspires me. She has a fantastic podcast that I'm going to share with you about. She's also a property investor. She's been in the corporate world for 20 odd years in the travel industry. She's been a CEO. She's been a managing director, and she's led very, very large teams. And she's also a mentor to many, many entrepreneurs. So please help me welcome Jeanette Linford. Thank you for being with us on the show.
Thank you, Jack. That a wonderful introduction.
Thank you. We do try. But I came across, I think when I came across your profile, what attracted me the most was your podcast title, which is Brave, Bold, and Brilliant. That is absolutely amazing. So tell us a bit more about yourself. We're going to come back to your podcast later, but tell us a bit more about yourself. Where did you start your journey? How did it all happen?
Yeah, sure. Well, listen, thank you so much for inviting me on, Jack. I really appreciate it. So you can probably tell from my dulcet tones that I'm a northerner. So I grew up in Manchester, actually, the youngest of three daughters. Had a lovely childhood, you know, very normal family, you know, working class family. And I was the only one in my family to actually go to university. So off I went, did an economics degree at Leeds, and yeah, came out with a first. So I was very pleased with that. And then, so I started life actually as a government economist down in Whitehall, which sounds a little bit, you know, a little bit stiff. And I did that for a couple of years and realised that the grey suits of the civil service were not for me. No offence to anyone who's a civil servant listening.
Sure, yes.
but you know, you've got to find your own flow, haven't you?
And what's that's right, yes.
So I jumped into the travel industry. And really, I've spent most of my corporate life and corporate career. So I've been fortunate to work for, gosh, some of the best brands in travel: Thomson, First Choice, TUI, Saga, Thomas Cook, you know, as well. So over the years, I progressed my career to becoming CEO of the travel division for Saga. And before that, I was the managing director of the emerging markets for TUI. So I used to buy, run and sell businesses in Russia, China, India, all over the place. So in my corporate life, I was very used to running large teams, having a very significant size profit and loss accounts, etc., which I really loved. And I was very passionate about the travel industry and still am. And then essentially about 3 years ago, I decided, maybe I was having a midlife crisis, I decided that I wanted to jump out of the corporate world and, you know, I suppose get off the rat race, really, when you're in those very high pressured senior exec roles. And I thought, actually, what do I want to do at this phase of my life now? And that was really where I decided I wanted the variety and flexibility. I wanted to be my own boss, essentially. So where I am today is I have a portfolio of three businesses. So one of them is my property business, which I know we're going to talk about, and I run that with my partner, Chris, my life and business partner, I may say. The second business I have is I work with private equity and corporate clients, advising them on business strategy, mergers and acquisitions, that kind of thing. So that's almost like an extension of my corporate life, if you like. And then the third business I have is I do mentoring. So I work very intensely with individual clients one-to-one. And these are people that really want to fulfill their potential, whether it's in the corporate world or the entrepreneurial world. So I support them with, you know, the personal development side of things, but also as a almost as an advisor on their business challenges as well. So it's quite a nice combination that I bring to them. So those are the three businesses that I have. But I also have my podcast, as you mentioned, Brave, Bold, Brilliant, which I launched during lockdown, actually. So in the middle of last year.
Fantastic. And from what I hear, that you're already one of the top 2.5 percentile in your podcast in the world.
Well, according to the data that I've looked at, yes, that is correct. So
that is amazing.
I know, I'm so pleased because
that is amazing.
Yeah, it's a passion project, you know, and I know you'll understand that, Jack, because I know you have similar sort of motivation with the things that you do as well. So it's great to see that starting to take off, you know.
Fantastic.
And yeah, wonderful.
So tell us, what do you think are the maybe 3 or 5 points that can potentially help someone reach their full potential, if that is even possible to kind of put it in 5 points?
Yeah, no, well, there's so much, isn't there? And we're all different. I think that's what I would say. You know, we are all different. So everyone's on their own journey with things. So one size doesn't fit all. But, you know, I think there are some common themes that I see either in successful people or people that are already, you know, sort of on the way to whatever they want to do. I think for me, the first thing is all about mindset and self-belief. You know, and I think very often we can talk ourselves out of things. You know, we have the old imposter syndrome and that little voice in your head telling you, oh, no, you don't belong or you're not good enough. So I think self-belief is absolutely critical, because if you have that, you really can achieve anything. And if you look at very successful people, you know, very often they've come from very humble beginnings, you know, and have had to struggle, you know, so haven't been given this on a plate. So I think that's the thing. Self-belief is the first thing. I think the second thing is around having a clear purpose and vision and actually knowing where you want to head, you know, because it's a bit like getting in a car, isn't it? If you've got no idea where you're going, you're just going to drive around randomly and waste a lot of time and energy. So I think it's very, very important to be clear on what it is, why you're here on this planet. You know, what is it you're trying to achieve? What legacy do you want to leave? And be really honest about that. So then you've got clarity of purpose and your goals.
Yeah.
I think the third thing I would say is you have to take action, right? So people can be great visionaries and have all of these dreams and have the right mindset, but ultimately you have to do some stuff.
Yes.
You know, you have to put the hard work in, and of course you want to work smart, not just hard, but you have to take action. So I think, you know, to be successful and fulfill your dreams, you have to be an action taker. I think the fourth area I would say is approach to failure, you know, because very often people see failure as a negative, that, you know, you've not achieved something, whereas actually it's all learning.
Yep.
And, you know, what's the saying? It takes 10 years to make an overnight success, you know. So when you see successful people, they haven't, not everything has gone well. They will have failed their way to success. So
yeah,
I think embracing that and knowing you're going to fail, because you will, we all will, we're all human beings.
Yeah, yes.
But actually thinking, no, I've learned something, and how do I then take it forward, I think is a real, real thing. And then the final point I would say, well, there's loads more, but to give you 5, I think also, you know, surrounding yourself with the right people, creating the right environment for growth, you know, because the people that you spend time with, you know, can really make a difference. They'll either lift you up and encourage you and help you learn something and challenge you in a constructive way. But if you have people in your life that are, you know, the naysayers that will always focus on the negative, you know, it can really sap your energy. So those are the 5 things that I would say are important to be successful.
Fantastic. It's, you know, I believe the points that you've covered, I also believe they're right at the core. I may have put the action one right at the top, because I come across way too many people who think they deserve and they don't really take enough action. But at the same time, one thing I always look for, so I'd like to understand your perspective on this, is I know people personally who are very, very heavily into personal development, into professional development, mm-hmm. even then they struggle. Even then they struggle. Mm. And I always wonder, why is that? And if any of that has anything to do with nature and nurture.
Yeah, it's an interesting debate.
I'd like to see your perspective on this.
Oh gosh, well, you know, if we could answer that question, we'd be multi-billionaires, I think. But you know, it is fascinating because I think some of your early formative years, and let's class that in terms of the sort of the nature part. I mean, it's genetics, of course. But I think if you think about your early years, sometimes, you know, they can be incredibly powerful in that influence how you are as a, you know, as a person, as an adult growing up. You know, and I think, you know, the values that you have, maybe, you know, from your parents. I mean, if I think about, you know, mentors, probably my first mentors would have been my mum and dad, you know, and I was lucky. I grew up in a really happy childhood and, you know, with very strong work ethic, coming from a very working class family. We didn't have a lot of money spare, you know, but we had a lot of love. And those values early on, I think, shape who you are as an adult. But then I also think you, as human beings, what differentiates us is that we can choose, you know, and sometimes to not make a decision is also a choice. So, you know, I do think it's a combination of nature and nurture, really, because the environment you're in can make a massive difference. And, you know, things like, I suppose, imposter syndrome and those kind of things, some of that can actually come from, you know, maybe your... There are some psychological issues that can cause that as well, which might be more linked to the nature side of things rather than the nurture. So, yeah, it's an interesting debate. I think the key really is that it's never too late to achieve your dreams, even if you could reach the heady heights of being in your 80s or 90s and still be learning and still be doing new things. Yep. So you're never too old and it's never too late. Even if you feel you've not achieved your potential so far, you can still make a change today.
That's right. I absolutely agree with that. I also believe that this is something that I share all the time, but just keeps coming to my mind, that if you don't have clarity, it doesn't really matter. Just keep taking action. And if you keep taking action, it's surprising that you get clarity from the feedback that you get from your actions.
Mm.
And that plays a major part. If you don't know what you're doing, if you don't know which way you're heading, just keep taking action. And that keeps giving you feedback, which leads to more clarity and, you know, keep going with it. That's how I believe anyone should take an approach towards success or towards being able to reach their full potential, I guess.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, I mean, I would agree with that. Sometimes people are absolutely clear. In particular, if you're a little bit older, maybe you've got more experience, you know, you've thought about things quite a bit over the years. So clarity often comes with a bit of age and experience.
That's right, yeah. Okay?
But nonetheless, some people really do struggle with this. I mean, I see with some of my mentee clients, you know, we'll talk about purpose and what they're trying to achieve. And, you know, what is important to them. And sometimes people struggle with that because we're so busy that we often don't stop and give ourselves the headspace to think about these things.
Yep.
But even when you do, it doesn't always come to you. You know, you might have to have, might take you 10, 20 goes at it. And you're absolutely right. Sometimes an opportunity might come your way or you might create an opportunity and just give it a go. Throw yourself in because you never know where that might lead. And what's the worst that can happen? If you fall flat on your face, you make an idiot of yourself, you know, you don't achieve, at least you'll have learned something. You won't do it that way next time. So
that is true. That is true. Yes.
You know, give it a go. I mean, certainly when I had the opportunity to go over to Russia when I was in my role at TUI, yeah. And I got approached internally with one of the, a guy called Richard Prosser, who ended up being my boss. And he saw something in me that I probably didn't see in myself at the time.
Yep.
You know, he said, how do you fancy going to Russia to buy three businesses, rebrand them as two. He launched them to the market, and it wouldn't have ever been a career move I would have thought of. But my gosh, that led on to so many other things that led on to me becoming the managing director of the division, working in China, India, you know, and everything else that came after that for me. So, you know, but I wouldn't have naturally thought of that. So you just sometimes have to run with it and give it a go. Give it your best shot.
Give it your best shot. I agree. Fantastic. Mm. All right. Tell us a bit more about your property investment journey. How did that start? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, we've invested in property for a while, but when we were in our corporate life, you know, you're busy running someone else's business, right? So we sort of dabbled in property, but not seriously. And then when I came out of the corporate world, and Chris, my other half, he had already retired, actually, he's 10 years older than me. Mm-hmm. We were thinking together as a couple, what do we want, you know, in terms of our life going forward, etc. So we thought, actually, you know, we want freedom, flexibility. We want to have passive income, all the great things that people in the property world talk about regularly. Yeah. And it was Chris, actually, that said, you know, I think we should do more in property. So, you know, he was very much the driver behind that at that stage a few years ago. So, you know, we got ourselves educated. You know, we decided to go for it significantly. So, you know, we set our business up more formally. So we're focused on buy-to-let, single buy-to-lets at the moment, and growing the portfolio, bread and butter stuff, to be honest. And that's really where we're spending our time now. We've made a decision when we were looking at our investment area and where our gold mine area was going to be, as people talk about. And I was originally from Manchester, as you know, and Chris was from Swansea, but we were living in London. And we knew that, you know, in terms of doing buy to let, the yields down in London are quite low in percentage terms. You get great equity growth, of course. But for us, we actually said, well, where do we want to invest? So we looked at our hometowns, our respective hometowns of Swansea and Manchester, both of which have great characteristics, actually.
Yes.
But we decided to go with Manchester because part of, I guess, my purpose and Chris's purpose is to leave a legacy for my nieces and nephews. And they're mainly up in Manchester. So it made a lot of sense, you know, for us to focus here.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. We're focusing on buy-to-lets, buy, refurbish, refinance, the usual stuff. But we're serious about it, to the point that after even having been in London, lived in London for 25 years, which I absolutely love, we moved up to Manchester in November of last year. So just a couple of months ago, because we said, if we're going to be serious about this, let's be on the ground. Let's really go for it. So we relocated during, you know, probably the worst situation you could have with lockdown and the middle of winter. But yeah, you know, I think if you want to do something and you're serious, you have to take action you have to make sacrifices as well,
that's
you
right.
know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's where we are, yeah.
Fantastic. All right. So let me ask you this, right? Because we're gonna come to your podcast, but let me ask you this. When you were leading larger teams, if you were to, let's say three or four or five, whatever you choose to, traits or characteristics a leader would need to have to be able to lead fantastic teams. In fact, we talked a little bit about being able to see potential in someone when they cannot see themselves, you know. Share your perspective on this, please.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a leader, you're there to provide, you know, inspiration, vision, the strategy, you know, where are you all heading? I mean, that's absolutely key. So in the same way, from a personal point of view of being clear around your own purpose and what you want to achieve in life, I think from a business point of view, as a leader, it's absolutely critical that you are able to articulate and shape that strategy and that vision for the team. So that's the first thing. But that's not enough, because clearly you have to get people to want to join you, to buy into it and to be on, you know, absolutely committed to that vision. So it's absolutely important that it's not just a paper exercise. It's something that you feel really passionate about. You're close to the customer and all of that. and that actually your teams absolutely get, and keep it simple. You know, I see in very large businesses, time and time again, even with the clients I work with, you know, coming out of the corporate world that I was in, where sometimes you make it overcomplicated, and you've got to be able to translate that vision, you know, whether you're in the boardroom or whether you are talking to someone that's on the phone in the call centre, taking a call from a customer to make a booking or but you know buy something from you, and it has to translate all the way through. So it has to have heart, I guess, really. I think as a leader as well, talent is absolutely critical. You know, building high performing teams and nurturing those teams is absolutely critical. Now, if you ask most business leaders what's their most important asset, 9 times out of 10, they'll probably say people. But then often when you look at how much they invest in their people and how much they develop their people, there's a disconnect.
Yes. So
I think spotting talent, recognizing yourself as a leader, you need to get out of the way. You need to hire really smart people, people who are smarter than you in lots of areas, and then give them the freedom, the direction that they need, but let them get on with their job and then nurture that talent. You know, I think those are some of the aspects of leadership. And then also, I guess, you know, you have to make the tough calls. You know, ultimately, as a leader, you're there partly to make the decisions as well. Now, you know, you want to bring people with you, you want to, you know, canvas opinions, but ultimately someone has to make a call, you know, and in particular right now as a business leader, you know, during these difficult times, there's lots of tough decisions that you have to make. And a strong leader, you might not always get it right, but be decisive, you know, make a judgment with imperfect information, because normally you don't have all the facts.
You don't have all the information yet.
Yeah, what's available at the time. But be confident in making a decision and getting everyone behind you. And if it's not the right decision or it doesn't go the way you want, okay, then you make another decision. But don't be afraid. You know, the worst thing is to procrastinate, to be vague, to not take those difficult calls, and also to grab the opportunities as well, you know.
Yeah.
So there's so much in leadership, but
yeah,
I think
there's so much there, yeah.
Those are the characteristics that I think are important in being an authentic leader as well. Be yourself. Don't try to be something you're not, because people
agree.
See through it, and your teams, they sense it. You know,
they can feel it. They can feel it. I agree. 100%. I agree. Within the same context, how do you deal with the emotions of, let's say, if you were about to take a decision which you feel instinctively is the right decision for the team, for the company, but it's not actually necessarily popular, or not majority maybe don't agree with you, but you'd still go ahead and take that decision. But then how do you deal with the emotions of that when you know people are against you, but you feel this is the right decision and you go and take that decision, but then the emotional side of you is suffering? How do you deal with those emotions?
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because there are always times when, you know, you can't please everyone all the time. You know, you just can't. And I think what's really important is to gather as much information and as many facts as you possibly can to assist you with the decision in the first place, even though you won't have everything that you need, but, you know, enough that you possibly can. So you're not just shooting from the hip randomly. You know, you're using it based on solid, as much solid information as you can get. So that's the first thing. I think the second thing is to clear communication with your teams. You know, so what's the situation you're in? What are the options available? And of course, you want to consult your team and try and, you know, take on board different perspectives, because very often the answers are sitting in the room. Right, but they might not all be with you. You know, so you do want to collaborate and have those discussions, give people a chance to have a voice. You know, but so I think it's great to be able with your senior team to be able to debate the situation very openly and honestly with the facts. And then ultimately, when you make a decision based on all of that, explaining why to people, so they might not agree with it, but at least they can understand why.
They can understand your perspective. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, don't hide away. You know, I see it sometimes where, you know, leaders will make a decision and it's an unpopular decision, and they avoid seeing the team.
Seeing the team, yeah.
You know, they hide away in the office on the penthouse on the top floor, when actually what you need to be is walking the floor. And being visible. You know, so I think those are the things you have to do. Is the approach, and listen to people, you know, and if people are concerned, it's always quite useful to try and bring individuals back to what it means for them. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes that can be a really hard conversation. You might be having to say farewell to someone in the business because you're having to make cost cutting, which is a big thing at the moment, of course. Yeah. Yeah. So you just want to be as honest and as fair and as straight as you can with people. And, you know, show your own emotions, because as a leader, you don't have all the answers.
No.
And you are a human, you feel things just the same. And I think it's very important, again, coming back to what we were talking about at the start, Jack, is the people that you have around you. You know, when you're having to make those tough calls, it's really helpful to have someone that you trust, maybe who's not so involved in the business, a mentor or a coach, or, you know, it might be an ex-colleague or an old boss or someone that you really trust, that you can maybe bounce some ideas around or just let off some steam.
Yeah.
Because as a leader, you have to be resilient, but you do have to look after your own emotions as well. So I think it's important to recognize that you will also be on that emotional roller coaster with your team, because you will feel their pain as well. And it's okay to show that. It's not a weakness to show that. There's all those aspects that I've over the years sort of had to bring into practice myself, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I must confess, in my 20s, I was leading a team, but I would sometimes take decisions which team won't agree with, and I wouldn't communicate. I'd just hide. But I always had the strength to take the decisions, but I didn't have the strength to face the team. And that was back in my 20s. But I think I learned in my 30s that I need to be more kind of more communicative, more straightforward approach, saying, well, this is the way I look at this. You know, what's your perspective? And I'd ask them that perspective. But at the same time, if I feel a decision needs to be taken, I would, irrespective of how unpopular it might be. In my 20s, I literally would hide. I would hide because I just didn't know how to face people. I just knew the decision was right. I'd take it and then I'd just go hide.
Yeah. I mean, and it is difficult sometimes, you know, those difficult conversations, it's not easy. And that can be in your personal life as well. You know, how often are people in situations where they don't express what they're feeling or their fears or whatever's going on? And then actually, you know, maybe the relationship breaks down, and it could have been saved if the communication was there. You know, so even though it's difficult, that, you know, it's important to be brave.
It is.
And, you know, take a deep breath and face people. Yeah, for sure.
Fantastic. So coming from brave. I loved it. Tell us about your podcast, Brave, Bold and Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, the idea for the podcast, to be honest, if you'd asked me 12 months ago, would I be doing a podcast, I would have laughed, you know, I wouldn't have said no. So I would have said, oh God, no, not a chance. But, you know, I think, again, it comes from what you were saying earlier, you know, things can sometimes evolve and shape. So, you know, I'm massively passionate about people fulfilling their potential. You know, I've always gained so much satisfaction out of seeing people flourish or building great teams. You know, I just genuinely love that. I get a lot of personal satisfaction from that stuff. So, you know, I believe that everyone's got greatness in them, every single person. But I'm kind of curious, if you like, about why is it that some people fulfill their dreams, but a lot of people never fulfill their dreams, unfortunately. So, you know, the idea really for me was, of Brave, Bold, Brilliant was, you know, I think in order to fulfill your potential, you know, you do have to be brave. You do have to take a deep breath, you know, head up, shoulders back, and just give it a go in whatever situation you're in. And it's not all about high flying careers. It's whatever's good for you in your life, but you have to be brave. Bold for me is all about impact. So, you know, if you're going to do something, do it to the best of your ability. Make an impact. It's not exactly go big or go home, because size isn't everything.
No.
But you know what I mean? It's do the best you can. Make the biggest impact. So being bold is around that, really, impact. And then brilliant is just, I guess, when the stars align and, you know, sometimes you are at different points of your life, you're just on fire. Everything's happening, everything's coming together, all the hard work and all the pain and suffering has been worth it, you know, and you're really just absolutely shining like a shining star. Yeah. So that's the concept behind the sort of the podcast. And, you know, because I spent a lot of my life in corporate world and now I'm in entrepreneurial world, I sort of span the different spectrum, really, from, you know, the boardroom tables of big international businesses to the, you know, the dining room tables of entrepreneurial startups with literally one person and your phone and your laptop, and that's you know, starting out. So that sort of potential goes across the whole spectrum, whether and also, you know, obviously business is a big thing because that's where I've spent most of my life. But I'm starting to have some really interesting guests on the podcast now in the world of sport, for example. You know, so one of my episodes, which will be coming out, is with the incredible Rory Underwood, for example. You know, he was the, you know, record try scorer for England rugby.
Yeah.
Phenomenal guy.
Yeah.
You know, and he was a flight lieutenant in the RAF and has been a consultant with really successful businesses for the last 20 years. So Rory is going to be coming out as one of my episodes soon. So what is really delightful is I get to speak to really cool people who are massively inspiring, whether it's in the world of business, sports, you know, charitable sector. So it's fantastic. And it's kind of growing, really, Jack, from there. And my aim is to help as many people as possible. I want, one of my things is I want to leave a legacy that on this world, when I'm no longer here, that, well, Jeanette was a pretty good egg and she helped people achieve their dreams and achieve their potential. So the podcast is a way to inspire by hearing other people's journeys and what's worked for them or where they've had to struggle maybe and overcome adversity. So that's the intention behind it. And I'm loving it. I have to say it's a real passion project. That's what it is.
Fantastic, fantastic. Tell us a bit more about your mentoring side of business, right? So what kind of, is there a certain kind of entrepreneurs you work with or a certain kind that you don't necessarily work with? What does that look like at the moment?
So, I mean, there isn't a set criteria in terms of, you know, you have to be an entrepreneur or you have to be in the corporate world or you have to be in one sector or another. So that's not the criteria, but the main thing really when I work with one-to-one clients is that they have to be serious about their own personal development, right? They have to want to take action and they have to want to be open-minded as to how they can really unlock their potential. So that's my criteria, to be honest. And because it is an investment. It is an investment. It's an investment in terms of monetary side of things, but also time, energy, emotion. So, you know, I am very picky, you know, and I will have conversations with people and say, you know, I'm not sure you're quite ready yet. Or, you know, other people, you know, absolutely come to me and go, you know, I can just tell straight away that they are serious about really taking action, developing themselves, and they get it. They buy into it. I would never, ever try to convince someone that they should do mentoring with me. Because what you're getting with me is I'm very straight and very honest. I'm very caring. But I will push, and you're not buying my time at all. combine 30 years of experience in the business world, but also in personal development and mentoring, you know. So actually, when I work with my one-to-one clients, I mean, they fly. They absolutely fly. You know, and I work with people that maybe are starting a business from scratch. So, you know, I'll help them with that. I work with people who want to climb the corporate ladder and you know, get an executive board position. And they're often with very large listed businesses, you know, so big corporate world. Or it could be someone that, you know, wants to change direction. Maybe they've had a career in a certain area and they want to become an entrepreneur. They might want to get into property like we've done. So there's a lot of different aspects, I guess, but it's very unique and individual to that one person. So I make sure that you know, one size doesn't fit all. There are some common themes, of course, you know, as you'd expect. But when I work one-to-one, it's absolutely dedicated, and my sole purpose is to help that person, you know, achieve what they want to achieve. But ultimately, they have to take the action.
Fantastic. I agree with that. At the same time, when you said they are going to get a push, on a scale of 1 to 10, and this is just, I would just love to know this answer. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the top, how much do you think pushing is right?
Well, I think I don't think I can put a number to it because everyone is different. Circumstances are always different. Yeah. So I think that the skill of a good mentor is someone that builds a really strong relationship with the individual. So they understand them very well, do a lot of listening, especially early on in the relationship. And you set the parameters, right? You set the goals and how you're going to work together. And then, you know, it's a judgment call, because there are certain times where, you know, someone might be having a rough period, and we're all human. And sometimes that, you know, they just need someone to talk to, and they need some support and love and encouragement, right? And that's the right approach at that particular moment. In other situations, you know, it might be that someone, maybe they're getting distracted by certain things, or they're just they're not really taking action, and they know they should do, but they're just not, for whatever reason, is a blocker. And then that's a different conversation, you know, and that might be slightly more of a case of, you know, come on, you're kidding yourself here. Yeah. You know, you could have done this and you haven't. So let's understand why not. Yeah. And let's try and unblock whatever's going on. Yeah. But I'm not there just to blow smoke up people's bottoms. Yeah. Excuse my phrase.
No. I get that. I get that.
So it's judging the right combination for that individual with what they want to do. Yeah. But I know myself, and when I've had mentors and coaches through different points of my career, I mean, at the moment, myself and Chris, we're being mentored by Rob Moore and Mark Homer, who are the founders of Progressive Property.
Mentored directly
by them. And we invested that time and that money in our own development as well, which is great. And, you know, I can honestly say there are certain things that I'm doing now at this stage of my life and career that, you know, having Rob and Mark as our mentors has made a really big difference to maybe me thinking about things in a different way. Or, you know, the podcast is a good example. You know, that was with Rob's encouragement that I went ahead and did the podcast. And boy, am I glad I did. Would I have done it if I didn't have Rob saying, come on, this is a great idea, Jeanette? Maybe not. I'll never know, but maybe not. You know, so mentors make a massive difference. I'm a big believer myself. And I love to give back. I love it. It's great. Yeah.
Fantastic. Last but not the least, I can see loads of books behind you.
Oh. Yes.
I'm a crazy reader. Listener, if I may say. I used to read a lot of physical books, but I stopped when I came across Audible many, many years ago. And I started listening to Audible, and I've done hundreds and thousands of books in my life. But what role do books play in your life?
Oh, massive, massive. I mean, I've always been a voracious reader. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I would say, you know, I did English literature at A level. So, you know, I used to love the classics, you know, and so I've always read a lot of fiction in my earlier years. But, you know, and as I've matured, you know, I spend a lot of time reading business books, mindset books. Autobiographies are cool as well, because I'm fascinated about, again, why someone has you know, achieved their potential. So, you know, the Michelle Obama autobiography is great. Arnie, you know, Total Recall, that's cool. So I like different books at different times, but I will nearly always have a business book on the go or a mentoring book, and I'll always have a sort of a maybe an autobiography or more of a fiction based book that's sort of more chill out type stuff that I might read before bed. So yeah, critical, because again, whether you're listening on Audible or you like to physically sit with a book, which I do, I always take notes. I'm a bit of a nerd, Jack. So when I read a business book, I have my notepad by the side, and anything that sticks out for me, I write it down. And then when I'm sort of commuting or I'm just sort of, you know, flicking through, I can very quickly refresh my memory of the whole contents of that book in, you know, a few pages or whatever. So I love to do that. So yeah, massively important for me. I get a lot of ideas and inspiration from reading. Yeah, I love
fantastic. It. Fantastic. Absolutely amazing having you on the show. I learned so much from you. Thank you. Like I cannot appreciate enough. Tell us where people can find you, can follow you, learn from you, maybe take mentoring from you as well. Where can they find you?
Well, I'm pretty much all over social media. So you'll find me on LinkedIn, on Instagram, Facebook. I've got a page on Facebook, which is Jeanette Linfoot, as well as my personal profile. My website is JeanetteLinfootAssociates.com. I've just got into Clubhouse, so I'm excited about that as a new media, although I've not really started properly yet, but I'm on there as well. I've got a YouTube channel where a lot of my videos, you know, when I've done posts on social media, they're all there. And of course, my podcast, Brave, Bold, Brilliant, which you can download on all the usual platforms, Google, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. So yeah, you can find me anywhere really.
So guys, we're gonna leave a link to Jeanette's personal website at the bottom of this video. If you're watching it, regardless of which platform you're watching this from, there will be a link to her a website where you can follow her on social media. I would heavily recommend you to download her podcast, Brave, Bold, and Brilliant. She's an amazing, amazing person, someone to watch and listen to. Jeanette, absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Have a fantastic, fantastic day. So thank you.
Oh, no, thank you for having me, Jack. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. I really hope you've enjoyed Brave, Bold, Brilliant. Don't forget to subscribe and share with all your friends. And if you've enjoyed listening, I'd love it if you'd leave me a 5-star review.